Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice in the Lord our God. Truly, I am so excited about you, you and you. Yes, I am excited that you have joined me on today. We have another glorious, glorious blessing in store for you from the word of the Lord. Truly, God maketh us rich and add no sorrow. And that's what the word of the Lord said. And so I am excited about you on today. Why don't you grab your Bible and just come right on in and just make yourself right at home on today. We have an awesome lesson on today, and it's coming out of the book of Acts, chapter number 16. And we're going to look at verse 16 through verse number 26. And I want you to know God is going to tremendously bless you on today. We are going to be talking about unshackled in Philippi. I tell you, child of God, I tell you, you don't want to miss this. So grab you a good seat and come on in and just make yourself right at home and stick with us until the very, very end. I want to say also I will be starting our NACE class, e-class, for those that may be interested in introduction to ministry. Feel free to give us a email us at Shekinah, Shekinahgt, at msn.com. That's, again, Shekinah, G-T, at msn.com. Shekinahgt, at msn.com. Today we want to talk about unshackle at Philippi. And we want to recognize that wherever there is prayer, God's power is going to be demonstrated, as well as his will is going to be done. And so we are going to explore that on today and look at the relevancy, and we're going to contextualize it and apply how it is relevant for our lives today. And so as you're turning with us to the book of Acts, chapter number 16, we're going to read that passage of scripture in your hearing. And some of the other scripture reference that you might want to take and write down and look and read for your own hearing and study would be Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 19, John chapter 7, verse 38 through 39, and also the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. Now let's take a focus and look at Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 26. And it reads on this line, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which slew unto us and showed unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So far, the reading of our scripture. Let us take a look. On today, we're talking in regards to unshackled in Philippi. Now, it's only the power of God through prayer can break the shackles of sin and iniquity. Men and women of every persuasion, walk of life, need to know the saving and delivering power of the Holy Ghost. Paul and Silas were men of prayer, and they depended on the leading of God's Spirit in order to accomplish the task of bringing others into the kingdom of God. Prayer is the most valuable tool that a Christian can employ to perform the work of God. Even when we do not know where God is leading us, if we continue in prayer, He will show us the way and lead us to those whom are hungry for salvation or a closer walk with God. Regardless of a person's social status or matter of life, they can only experience true spiritual freedom from sin through faith in the name of Jesus. Sin is no respecter of person. All people, the rich, the poor, the educated, uneducated, the religious, and the irreligious, must experience freedom from the power of sin in order to live the Christian life. Now let us look further into our lesson on today, the Philippian prayer meeting. Let's take a look at that particular prayer meeting. Now God directed Paul and Silas during their missionary journey. Paul's second missionary journey, when they desired to go into Asia to preach the gospel, they would have gone into both Asia and Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit constrained them not to continue in that direction. Consequently, they journeyed to Taurus, where Paul received a vision from God of a man in Macedonia, pleading for someone to come help them. Immediately, they left for Macedonia so that they might have an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. As we continue to look into this passage of scripture, we see Lydia, the businesswoman. Let's take a look at this. After spending several days in Macedonia, city of Philippi without success, Paul and Silas resorted to the riverbank outside the city where a number of women were gathered in prayer on the Sabbath day. There among them was a woman named Lydia, a merchant of expensive purple cloth. Because purple cloth was a valuable, Lydia was evidently a wealthy woman who was highly respected. This small group of women were gathered outside of the city by the river because of the law that prohibited bringing any unrecognized religion into the city. In spite of being an influential merchant, Lydia joined with these women in prayer that she might draw near to God, evidently caring not what others might think or even say. Upon seeing these women in prayer, Paul and Silas drew near and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Lydia was already a worshiper of the true God And through their ministry, God opened her understanding so that she believed their testimony and received it. Now let's look further about Lydia. Lydia, the believer, immediately after believing the message of Paul and Silas, Lydia was baptized along with other members of her household. We do not know specifically whether Acts 16 and 15 refers to Lydia's submission to the water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, to her being baptized with the Holy Ghost, or both. When we begin to look here at the scripture, it appears in the New Testament as a reference both to the baptism, water baptism, and being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And because Lydia was a true believer, it's safe to assume that she did soon experience both the water baptism in the name of Jesus as well as the Holy Spirit baptism in addition to her repentant attitude. Now, over in John 7, verse 38 through 39, it states, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, Lydia believed the message of salvation because God opened her heart that she might receive the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit quickened her faith to receive the preached word of God. All who believe the gospel shall receive the Holy Ghost. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. "Because she was faithful to the word of God that she had heard, God was faithful unto her." Now let's look at a little bit closer at Lydia, the blesser. God blessed Lydia with the salvation experience, and she in turn readily opened her home to the preacher so that she could bless them and minister to their needs. She considered it a privilege to bless them with hospitality, so she constrained them to abide in her house for a season. We who have been so wonderfully blessed of God also be filled with desire to bless others with whatever means we have at our disposal. Such as it is, the ministry of hospitality is a powerful tool to aid the cause of Jesus Christ. All who would desire the office of bishop should be given to hospitality. We find that over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2. And likewise, the scripture exhorts all Christians to minister to others through genuine hospitality. We find that over in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, 1 Timothy 5 and 10. Being a good host, a hostess, is a ministry that can effect much good in the kingdom of God. Moreover, the writer of the book of Hebrews admonished, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Hebrews 13 and 2. A little hospitality is such a blessing to others and to the work of God. So let us be like Lydia and be faithful to bless one another through genuine acts of hospitality. Now let us look further as we continue to look at this passage of scripture and to gain a greater understanding as to what's going on. Here we find also the Philippian prayer of deliverance. We talked about the prayer in the prayer meeting at Philippi. Now we're going to look at the prayer of deliverance, the damsel that was in distress. As Paul and Silas made their way to the riverside where Lydia and the other women customarily gathered for prayer, a young damsel possessed by an evil spirit met them. This young girl was unable to free herself from the physical as well as from the spiritual and the human bondage to which she had became captive. She was bound by both an evil spirit and a slave to certain men who used her distress to create profit. Just as this young damsel was bound by the chains of sin, there was many people today, both young and old, who are victim of Satan and his devices, such as alcohol, drugs, pornography, witchcraft, occult practices, and demon possession and rage, countless numbers of those who have would want to be free. We who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit must allow the anointing of the Spirit to free those who would believe on the power of the name of Jesus. Now let us look further at this same particular story here. Even while God was opening an effectual door or opportunity for preaching the gospel in Macedonia, Satan was on the attack. Just because we sometimes face stiff opposition we have to the preaching of the gospel does not mean we have failed. Satan hates the name of Jesus and the proclamation of his delivering power. As Paul and Silas continued to disciple those who would believe the gospel, the damsel that was possessed with a spirit of divination followed them. Day after day, she followed and cried about that these were men of the Most High God, which were showing the way of salvation. Although the testimony she gave was true, she did great harm to the cause of the preachers by strengthening her own motives through an apparent association with them. Also, she tainted their authority by her acceptance of them. The acceptance of these others does not legitimize our mission to the gospel and to preach. After many days of tolerance for her outcries, Paul stopped abruptly and grieved in his spirit and rebuked that evil spirit, saying, "I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her." Acts 16 and 18. Being subject to the authority of the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, the unclean spirit came out of her the same hour. Oh, my God. That same dunamis power is still relevant today for the children of God as we call upon that wonderful and that matchless name of Jesus. I encourage you, child of God, as never before, to call on that wonderful name. And that wonderful name is Jesus. And have dunamis power in that name. Let us further look at this particular situation that's going on in the biblical text here. It says, what rejoicing they should have been when the damsel was set free from the power of Satan, with her spiritual chains broken that bound her. She lost her ability to divine or foretell through the spirit of the world. No longer would others come to her to know their fortune or seek her advice, for the evil spirit had departed from her. Now, in anger, her master, who had profited spiritually from her divination, turned on Paul and Silas and dragged them before the magistrate in the marketplace. They cared not for the young lady who had been set free from the power of Satan. Their only concern for her was how she could profit them with earthly riches. Those who love money care little for the things of God. Jesus said it's easier for the camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You'll see that over in Matthew chapter 19 and 24. The love of money blinds individuals to the truth and prevents them from acknowledging the work of God. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covered after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. Now, that does not denote or does not that say that the scripture also said that money answers all matters. And it does not say that, you know, it's not important to have money, but it said that when it becomes a love for it, it can cause one to lose their sight on the things of God and continue to operate in their faith. So please recognize, yes, the Bible and the scripture does say it, that God will give us power to attain wealth. But the love of money is the thing that can cause one to be overthrown. It said, with their means of obtaining wealth through deceit, taken from them, the masters of the damsel accused Paul and Silas of teaching unlawful custom. Their real concern was not in regards to the lawfulness of their doctrine, but in their ability to earn money through this poor damsel. Consequently, they appealed to the rulers of the city on the premises that their religious custom were under attack. Inscribed on the arches of the city of Philippi was a prohibition against bringing any unrecognized religion into the city. However, the law did not prohibit the practice of other religion outside the city gates. Clearly, the preacher had violated no laws, yet the multitude compelled the magistrate to pass judgment against them while ignoring the shameless exploitation of the damsel who had been set free. Now let's look at further, as we look further into this matter, God had performed a great and mighty miracle and loosened the damsel from the evil spirit. Many soul witnesses her deliverance and transfiguration and transformation, we should say. Now clearly and surely God would strengthen the revival that had come to that city. However, because of the harvest will come, the revivalists themselves became targets of distress. Tearing off their robes, the magistrate reacted angrily to the tumult in the city and in the streets that perpetuated from the deliverance of the damsel with her evil spirit. Further, they commanded the public beating of Paul and Silas without receiving the benefit of fair trial. They were flogged and cast into prison. They who had delivered others from the spiritual bondage found themselves in stocks and bonds. With dry blood on their backs from the beating they had received, they must have wondered how God was going to receive any glory from their dilemma. How difficult it is for us as human beings to understand the ways of God sometimes. Paul and Silas could hardly imagine the things that God was about to do on their behalf. When we think that God has forsaken us, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Further, we should always remember that God's ways are far above our ways, as the heavens are high above the earth. Romans 8:28 states, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8. Now, we looked at Lydia and we looked at the prayer meeting that was going on in Philippi. And let's take a look further. We looked at even the prayer of deliverance and how the damsel who was delivered from that evil spirit, how God blessed them as a demonstration of the power of prayer and calling on that name of Jesus. And now in even what it cost the apostles, Paul and Silas, for them moving in and through and by the Spirit of the Lord, how they were thrown into the prison. Let us look further into the word, because prayer did not stop there. Even though we have Lydia praying, and then we have the damsel through prayer delivered. But let's look further at another area of deliverance through prayer. And in the bank and darkness of their prison cell, Paul and Silas called on the name of the Lord Jesus. They remembered God's grace in their midnight hours of testing. As they contemplated his grace, they prayed fervently that God would show them favor in their time of need. They prayed, they sang, they gave praises as they reflected on God's goodness. All who were in the prison heard them glorifying God, some possibly wondering how they who have been cast into prison could make such a joyful noise. What a testimony was their songs of victory to the others who were in prison. Victory always has a song when our trust is in the Lord. Although Paul and Silas did not see any outward evidence of God's presence, they did have the assurance in their heart that God would not forsake them. If we can keep a song of victory in our hearts, nothing that the enemy can do to us will steal our joy. The only way that we will ever lose our song of victory is if we allow ourselves to forget the goodness of the Lord our God. So with the sound of worship and praise fulfilling the prison, suddenly the earth began to quake as God seemed to manifest his approval towards Paul and Silas. The prison moved on its foundation, its walls began to crack, and the prison door opened. Then the earthquake set those free who had been bound in stocks and bonds. So violent was the shaking of the earthquake that it rose from sleep, the keepers of the prison, who rushed to see what had become of the prisoner. Upon opening and seeing the door, prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself except for the cry of the apostle. Paul shouted loudly that he should not harm himself because all the prisoners remained within the prison. What a difference prayer can make when it is directed with the right spirit and attitude and coupled with faith. Oh, child of God, how powerful is that prayer? And I come to admonish you and come to encourage your heart as never before for us to continue to pray without ceasing and continue to call on that mighty name of Jesus. With a right spirit and a right heart and a right attitude, all coupled with our faith, and watch God move on behalf of his people. Oh, child of God, he is such a wonderful Savior, a mighty counselor, an everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. And I am so excited about the God in which we serve. Let us look further as we look into the matter of unshackled in Philippi. Let's take a look for just a moment at a personal prayer. Prayer has the power to transform a life when a person offers it in sincere faith and humility. So the keeper of the prison was astonished by both the earthquake and also by the fact that none of the prisoners had fled. If they had fled, he would probably have lost his life, calling for a light so that he could see. He came rushing into the prison and fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas. He said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Acts 16 and 30. His teachable spirit and sincere yearning enabled him to believe God for the salvation of his soul. The power of the Holy Ghost will transform all who will call on the name of the Lord in faith. Now, God answered the prayer of the keeper of the prison so that he and all his house rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. The scriptures assure us that we can, in faith, without wavering, ask anything of God in the name of Jesus according to his will, and he will answer. Salvation came to the Philippian jailer, and his house became because they believed the preached word of God. Through faith in the gospel, they repented of their sins, which was evidenced by their subsequent baptism. Now let's look further. The jailer rejoiced in the Lord with all his house, And he set meat before Paul and Silas and washed their stripes that same night. The result of Paul and Silas' prayer was astonishing. Not only did they pray until God set an earthquake, but they were set free from their prison, and the jailer and his entire household were saved through the preaching of the gospel. How mighty is the power of personal prayer? It pays to live a life of prayer so that in a time of extreme need, we know how to seek help from our God. The consistency of our prayer time, the fervency of our prayer are more important than the eloquence or the length of words. So let us pray without ceasing that we might please God. You'll find that scripture over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. As we further look into the matter on today, we'll begin to look at what the scripture is saying. The Philippian prayer to depart. The magistrate releases Paul and Silas. Early the next morning, the magistrate of the city sent the sergeants to the prison to set Paul and Silas free. The magistrate had heard that their departure could be done quickly and quietly before the city came to life. They wanted to avoid the controversy and the confusion of the day before, but they had failed to anticipate Paul's boldness. Paul, a Roman citizen, and he knew that they had violated his personal rights. The magistrate had failed to take into account that perhaps Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, thus affording them the rights to a fair trial. Moreover, the Roman law forbid anyone who was a Roman citizen to be beaten with stripes. Since they have beaten Paul and Silas publicly without the benefit of a fair trial, they have placed themselves in danger of the wrath of Caesar. The gravity of their error caused them to fear for their life. And so here we have Paul, wept bold in spirit, and refuses to leave the prison secretly, demanding that the magistrate should come down to the prison themselves and to release them by means of a public apology. By doing so, perhaps he hoped to teach the city's official a lesson so that other believers might not receive the same treatment that he and Paul and Silas have received. The word quickly spread that Paul and Silas have been found innocent of any wrongdoing. Although we should rejoice when we are counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus, Christians should stand up for their constitutional rights, which guarantee them freedom of religion and freedom of speech. We are not obligated to be doormats for those who would deny us our rights as citizens. Even Paul's citizenship afforded him personal privilege and protection not usually given to those of a heritage, different heritage. And we ought to be thankful to God for our freedom that we have as children of God as well. Now let us look further as we look at the magistrate and how they repented about Paul and Silas. Let us look further into the word of the Lord. When the city official realized that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were more than anxious to let them go away in peace, realizing that they had made a grave error in punishing them without benefits of a trial. They were quick to respond to the request to come to the prison. How quickly the proud and powerful magistrate become humble and apologetic, because the same men that they had recently condemned, their change of heart should be a lesson to all of us not to rush to judgment before we have fully heard the matter. Jesus said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the same judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." We find that over in Matthew chapter number 7. Verses number 1 through verse number 2. The scripture revealed that the magistrate besought them upon bringing them up out of prison. The word besought translates from the Greek word, which means to call near or to invite or to invoke in exploration or consolation. In other words, it was to call near in order to retreat or to invite a favorable response that one might be consoled or comforted. The magistrates sought forgiveness for their error, for they feared possible ramification. How humble these magistrates must have been in publicly acknowledging their errors before the men of the city. Yet in that brief moment, they allowed the opportunity to pass them by. They could have inquired more fully into the message that Paul preached of salvation and the freedom from sin, but instead they begged Paul and Silas to leave their city. Now let's look further into the matter of this particular lesson here. In begging the men to leave their city, the magistrates were in fact rejecting the message that they had preached. God graciously allowed Paul and Silas to preach the gospel to them, yet they could not comprehend what a miraculous truth that they had heard. In reproving Paul and Silas, they were not rejecting them alone, but they were guilty of rejecting the mercies of God. We need to beware how we treat the ministers of God who preach the gospel with the anointing of God, lest we become guilty of dishonoring God himself. Paul and Silas had the one true message of eternal life, but the magistrate willingly turned away from the message of the gospel. They cared more for Caesar than they did in standing before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. As foolish as this looked in retrospect, there are multitudes today who also hear the gospel of Christ, yet they regard the honor and the acceptance of the men or women more than the honor and the acceptance of God. So the magistrate desired that they would leave the city, and therefore they sent Paul and Silas on their way, ignoring what the notable miracle God had performed before them. Although Paul and Silas was reproved for being used of God, they cared not for the honor of men, but that they might please God. And so here we have these particular situation that was taking place in Philippi, the unshackling, even for Lydia, even for those that the damsel that was in distress. Even Paul and Silas, when they were there and thrown into prison, even the jailer and his whole household. And this just denotes and demonstrates the power of prayer when God's people pray and call on the mighty name of Jesus and what he would do and how he would bless his people. And so I come to tell you and encourage you and admonish you as never before, as that we go back to prayer, go back to calling on the name of the Lord, go back and find ourselves doing the principles that God has given unto us, holding fast and believing God and knowing and keeping a song of praise down in our hearts until God bring forth the manifestation of that which he wants to do in and through the life of his people. And so much so, children of God, I believe the Bible said is nigh thee, even in your mouth. And as we begin to declare and decree the will of the Lord down here on earth as it is in heaven, we will begin to see the manifestation of the power of God in the midst of his people as never before, because the people of God have gone back and begin to pray and begin to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is power, wonder working power, in the name and, yes, in the blood of Jesus. Oh, I feel the power of God even right now for somebody. The power of our God is in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes, demons tremble at that name. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood, even of the Lamb. And so I encourage you, children of God, as we approach God with the right attitude, approaching God with the right spirit, and having our faith all within that wonderful name of Jesus and the power of him. Watch God do it on your behalf. There's power. He said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He said, if two or three will touch and agree, ask that anything of the Father which is in heaven, he will give it unto us. And so as we as children of God begin to pray unto God as never before, those same things, those same prayer meetings, just like Lydia and the women who was there by the riverside, the power of God would exude through your life, just like it was when Paul and Silas, when they was there on the journey, and there came the damsel that came up against them crying out. Paul did not rebuke the woman, but he spoke to that spirit and cast that spirit out. That same power is come through prayer and setting her free. That same power when Paul and Silas was caught and thrown into the inner jail and in stocks and bonds around their hands and around their necks and feet, they still yet kept a song in their heart. I come to tell somebody on today, keep a song of victory in your heart today. Keep a song of victory in your mind on today of what God is able to do. I hear the scripture say, lift your head. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Oh, yes, child of God, even as Paul and Silas, they had one thing that they was holding on to, even in their midnight hour. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that God would not forsake them. I come to tell you on today, child of God, God will not forsake you, child of God. Hold on and hold fast, because the God in which you serve, he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. So you hold fast to God's unchanging hand. Continue to pray. Continue to call on his name as we find ourselves back in to the prayer meetings and back into our prayer groups and calling on the mighty name of Jesus. Watch God do it. Show himself mighty and show himself great as he stand up in his sanctuary and send help from Zion. He will come, and he will do it. And so we find here that prayer is the key in knowing and doing the will of God. As we seek him with our whole heart, mind, and soul, he will be found of us. And not only that, Paul and Silas, they continue in prayer day after day that they might please God. Don't you know, child of God, we cannot just pray one time, but we got to walk in the spirit of prayer, giving ourselves to fervent prayer day and night. These same men, they were able to follow the leading of the Spirit because of their faithfulness in prayer. They were led to the riverside where others were there praying and in a prayer meeting. They found Lydia and other devout women who was hungry to know more about God. And after preaching unto them the gospel of salvation, Lydia and her whole house received the gospel and were baptized. And such as it is, with Paul and Silas, they then encountered the demon-possessed girl who cried after them for many days, declaring that they were servants of the Most High God. Being exasperated by their continual shouting, Paul turned toward her and commanded the evil spirit to come out of her and demonstrated the mighty power of God. And if the apostolic children of God will remain faithful in prayer, God will demonstrate his mighty power and will through him. God wants to unshackle all who are bound by their sin and by the powers of darkness that they might be free. Power will break the chain of sin if we continue in faith and not wavering. We have been endued with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost and the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Let us stand in that apostolic mandate and mantle and do the work in the will of the Lord our God as never before. Over in Matthew 18, verse 18 through 18 said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven." So, child of God, you see the theological implication of a child of God coming in agreement and praying together as never before. God said, "It shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven." And one of the greatest tools of the adversary is division, because he knows the power of agreement for the child of God as they operate in the principles of God, of the power and the mighty working power in the name of Jesus. So, children of God, as never before, we admonish you and encourage you to be in agreement, be in the prayer meetings. Go back to praying. Go back to calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, holding fast to the horns of the altar. And watch God. Watch God do it on behalf of his people. And as I said and shared my testimony, even of my sister, I'll share before I leave, who just recently went on the home to be with glory and to be with the Lord. I literally, with my own eyes, behold the glory of my God. I've seen God do the miraculous and his name being distributed and his power being demonstrated on her sick bed. So much so, it profound the doctors, and the doctors begin to look at me and say, "Just keep praying. We see progress. Keep praying. We see things changing." And as I begin to pray and call on that name of Jesus, God miraculously taken her off the ventilator, God miraculously healed her right there on her bed. God miraculously even raised her up out of a coma. God miraculously moved on her lungs to be strong enough to breathe on their own. I come to tell you, I have behold the glory of my Father. Yes, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of Yeshua, which is Jesus. There's power, wonder-working power in the name of the Lord. So I come to encourage you. I come to strengthen your faith. I come to admonish you and to exhort you and to build you back up to keep holding on. Keep calling on the name. Keep on praying. Even if you don't see a change, God will not forsake you. And you can speak those same words to God and say, "God, I know you will not forsake me. And Father, in the name of Jesus, let your sovereign will be done in the lives of those that will hear this message on today. I come into agreement, Lord, according to your divine will with your child. Father, with your believer, God, I come into agreement with whatever they have need of today. Manifest, God, manifest. We decree in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Manifest, God, your sovereign will. Bring the past that which your child have need of. You said in your word, God, that you've given us everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. Now, Father, we ask and decree that you manifest it, God. Manifest on behalf of your children. And, Father, we'll give you the glory, that one that needs a touch in their body. Touch today. Let your healing virtue flow. Lord, send your word. We send your word to heal them, God. Comfort that comforted heart, Lord. Lift up the bowed down head. Restore, oh God. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name, whatever the need may be. Father, we ask that you grant it, God. Beat back the hellhound. Beat back the emissaries of the adversary, God. Father, Lord, undo, Lord. Put a cloud, oh God, between them and the enemy, Lord. Put a gulf between the blind, Lord. The adversary so he can't see, Lord. Oh God, even move the trace of this spell, God, that the enemy will not be able to even track them down. Father, for thy glory and thy honor, Lord, reveal, make provision. God, you're the God of provision, and you're the God that know how to make a way out of no way. Put a song of victory down in the heart of your people, God. And Father, we'll praise your name. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you all the glory, all the praise that's due unto your name. Father, we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, child of God, arm yourself with the strength of the Lord. Put on the strength of the Lord and follow after the Spirit of the Lord, because he's going to reveal unto you and lead and guide you into all truth. The Bible said, acknowledge me first, and I will direct your path. And so God's going to direct your path, child of God. He's going to bless you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to keep you. He's going to fortify you and undergird you. And so this is our prayer, that God will bless your day and continue to flow in and through your life. So be encouraged and hold fast of faith. Like I would tell the precious saints, grab a hold of courage and get in it and watch God bless you. It's getting ready to turn around and work out for your favor and for your good. And all you do is speak to your mountain and tell your mountain to move over yonder place, because good is coming to your house today. Father, we thank you as we commend, Lord, this service and this, Lord, session into your hand, and manifest your blessing, God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Truly, I am excited about God and excited about all the wonderful things of the Lord and what he's doing in and through your life. Be encouraged, children of God. Like I would say in my closing on today, if you don't have it, God got it. And you, yes, you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. Be thou blessed until we meet again. May the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. Bye-bye.